This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
I saw something interesting about Tu B'Shvat, which I would like to elaborate on. The Nei Yisachar says the following. There is an argument in the Gemara when the world was created. Rabbi Lazar says the world was created in Tishrei, and Rabbi Yoshua says the world was created in Nisan. If the world was created in Tishrei, that means that man was created in Tishrei, on the first of Tishrei, which is Rosh Hashanah. But the world was created 6 days earlier, which is the 25th day of Elul. According to Rabbi Yoshua, man was created on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. That means the world was created 6 days earlier on the 25th of Adar. So the date of the creation of the world is either, what? Rabbi Eliezer says Tishrei, and Rabbi Yoshua says Nisan.
Who?
Rabbi Yoshua.
And who's the first one?
Rabbi Eliezer. So, basically, according to Rabbi Eliezer, the date of the creation of the world was the 25th of Elul. And according to Rabbi Yoshua, the date of the creation of the world was the 25th of Adar. What? 6 days earlier. Because man was created on the sixth day of creation. So the world was created 6 days earlier. Now, what is specific? What is what? Of Adar or the 25th of Elul? What is significant of the 25th of Adar and the 25th of Elul? Says the B'nai Yisachar. It says that before a person, when it is conceived, 40 days before, HaKadosh Baruch Hu begins to prepare for that person in Shemayim. Arboim Yom Kol Mitzuras Avlad, so they already start to make preparations for that person. If you subtract 40 days from the creation of Adar, 40 days before the 25th day of Adar is the 15th day of Shvat. That's Tu B'Shvat. 40 days before the 25th day of Elul is Tu B'Av, is the 15th day of Av. So we have 2 days of the calendar that are special that have a connection to each other. The 15th of Av is the 40-day preparation for the Rosh Hashanah of Tishrei, and the Tu B'Shvat is the 40-day preparation for the Rosh Hashanah of Nisan. Now, Tosis asks, okay, that's what the B'nai Yisachar says. Now I want to spend the rest of this year elaborating on it. Tosis asks, how could there be an argument when the world was created? Right? Either it was created in Tishrei or in Nisan. Both can't be right, and we know when Chazal argue, they are both right. How can they both be right? Says Tosfos, the world was created b'machshava in Tishrei and l'maisa in Nisan. So they're both right. There's two creations, creation b'machshava and the creation b'maisa. The way I understand that, and there are other ways of understanding it, but the way I understand it is it echoes something Rashi says in the beginning of the Torah. Rashi says the following. You're familiar with that, Rashi? Hashem intended to create the world, the Midas Adin, but then he added Rachamim. Okay? That means, b'machshava, the first thought was Din, a world of Din. And then the Rabban Shem Lamaisa added Rachamim to that Din. What is the idea behind it? Why would God want to create a world with no mercy, just with din? Because that's the purpose of this world. Why did God create this world? He should have just created Olam Haba and put on Neshamas into Olam Haba. But he wanted us to earn Olam Haba so we'd really appreciate it. If you get mercy, you didn't earn it. But you're given a present. If you get no mercy, and you only get what you deserve, that's din, right? Then you've earned it on your own. So the ideal would be only din in this world. But God saw that if he didn't add any mercy, many people would get nothing. They'd lose everything. So he added mercy, l'maisa. So it comes out that when it says the world was created B'machshava, that means God's first thought of din. And then he created it, added rachamim. Now, when the world was created, there was no time. Time is a creation. So these two dimensions existed simultaneously. There was the dimension of din, that was the initial thought, and then there was lamais of adding rachamim, but they existed at the same time. There were two dimensions.
What? There's no time.
No. So God created time, and he created the world at the same time. But when he created the world, these two dimensions existed together.
When he created time,
at the beginning of creation, these two dimensions separated into two time zones.
Wait, so time was in Elul or time was in Nisan?
No. Time was Elul and Tishrei. That was Elul, Tishrei, all these are time. Originally, there were two dimensions. There was the dimension of Din and the dimension of Rachamim. When God created the world and added time, the dimension of Din gravitated to the time of Tishrei, and the element of Rachamim gravitated to the time of Nisan. So we have two Rosh Hashanahs. We have the Rosh Hashanah of Din in Tishrei and the Rosh Hashanah of Rachamim in Nisan. Okay. It's interesting that that's clearly how things are. The Rosh Hashanah of Tishrei is Din, is Yom HaDin, is Rosh Hashanah, is Din, right? Judgment. Yom Shani, Yom Kippur, and so on. Nisan is the Rosh Hashanah of Rachamim, because Pesach, we normally translate Pesach to mean to skip over, to pass over, but the Targum says, Asher Pesach al Bote b'nei Israel, doesn't mean he skipped over or passed over, it means Chos, he had Rachmanis. So the whole Yontif of Pesach is Rachmanis. So that's the Rosh Hashanah of Rachamim, Nisan. The Unklus, right? It's in this week's Sedra. Asher Pesach Abot in Israel, Asher Chos, Yed Rahmanis. Not only that, but in Kabbalah, not that I know too much about Kabbalah, but this I saw somewhere. Whenever you have a word that has the Aleph Beis backwards, it's a sign of Din. Whenever you have a word with the Aleph Beis in it is in the order that it's supposed to be, that's Rachamim. Tishrei is backwards Aleph Beis, Tav Shin Resh. What is the real name of Nisan? Chodesh HaAviv. Aleph Beis, Aviv is Aleph Beis. So Nisan is the Rosh Hashanah of Rachamim, and Tishrei is the Rosh Hashanah of Din. Comes out that the 40 days before the Rosh Hashanah of Din, you begin preparing for that Rosh Hashanah on Tu B'Av. 40 days before the Rosh Hashanah of Rachamim, you begin preparing for that Rosh Hashanah on Tu B'Shvat. Okay, everybody still with me? Okay. Now there's something else similar between Tu B'Shvat and Tu B'Av. They both have to do with trees. Obviously, Tu B'Shvat is Rosh Hashanah. The Ilan knows, what does Tu B'Av have to do with trees? Gemara says one of the reasons we celebrate Tu B'Av, the 15th of Av, is because that's the day that they stopped cutting wood for the Mizbeach for the year. They only cut wood for the Mizbeach, to burn on the Mizbeach, during the height of the summer. Because then the sun's rays were direct, and the trees were all dry, and dry wood doesn't produce worms. And you can't use wormy wood for the Mizbeach. So in order to be able to cut wood that the chances of it having worms were very slight, they cut all the wood from the Mizbeach during the height of the summer. But on Tu B'Av, that's the cutoff point for the year, because that's when the nights start to get longer and the days shorter, meaning that the sun's rays aren't as direct, and now worms could begin forming in the tree, so they stop cutting wood. When you stop doing a mitzvah that you did for a while, you make a seal. So the siyum of cutting wood for the Mizbeach for the year was on Tu B'Av. So Tu B'Av has to do with cutting trees and burning them on the Mizbeach. And Tu B'Shvat has to do with fruit trees, where the trees are, the water's coming into the tree, the sap that you'll produce the fruit. But both have to do with trees. Tu Ba'av with dry trees that you cut down and burn, and Tu B'Shvat with moist trees that produce fruit. Okay? Still with me? Next. So now we have to understand how cutting down trees and burning them on the Mizbeach is a preparation for the Rosh Hashanah of Tishrei, the Rosh Hashanah of Din. How does that prepare you for Din? By cutting down trees and burning them on the Mizbeach. The Torah says that trees are compared to people, or people are compared to trees. Okay? Adam eitz hasadeh. People are like the trees of the field. So you have to understand what's the connection between a tree and a person. Says the Maral, we look the same. You look at a tree, it has roots, it has a bark, it has limbs, branches. Look at a person. He has a root, that's his head, with the root hairs coming out. He has a trunk, his body, and he has limbs, arms and legs. Okay, so we look like a tree. There's only one big difference. We're upside down. You know what it really looked like a tree? I think when I was in second grade, I was in public school, and they had a play for Thanksgiving, and I was a tree. I didn't get to say too much. But in order to be a tree, you have to really stand on your head. Then you look like a tree. Your roots are down, your limbs are up, right? And your trunk is, you look like a tree. We stand up, we're upside down trees, right? We're upside down. We're standing on our limbs and our root is up here. So a person is really an upside down tree, but it's not true, says the Maral. It's just we're rooted somewhere else. A tree is rooted in the physical world, but we are rooted in the heavens. We grow down from there, because that's our real places in the heavens. It just happens to be we're temporarily in a physical world. So we stand on our feet, but our roots are really in the heavens. So there I was thinking, therefore, the word Eitz, if you vocalize the letters, means something. Ayin, Tzadik. Ayin means look. Tzadik means a tzadik. Look at a tree, you'll see a tzadik. Now, how is looking at a tree, do you see a tzadik? Just like I just told you. Look at the tree, see where its roots are, see where its limbs are. Which is the ikker, the roots? Because if you cut off the roots, there's no tree. If you cut off the limbs, you still have a tree. The ikker is the roots, and the limbs are just secondary. Now look at a person. His roots are in the heavens, and his limbs are on the ground. What's the ikker? Shamayim, not Aretz. So you see a tzaddik. Ayin, tzaddik. Look, you'll see a tzaddik. Ayin, tzaddik is Eitz. Look, and you'll see a tzaddik. Tzaddik is somebody who's rooted in the heavens, whose feet are on the ground. Okay. So it hit me then that if that's true, that because we're in the physical world, so our root is up and our limbs are down, what if we'd be in a spiritual world? We'd be in Gan Eden, in a spiritual world. So then we'd be like a tree, and our roots would be down, and our limbs would be up. The only reason we're upside down is because our root is in the heavens. But if we'd be in the heavens, our root would be down like a tree. And that would follow that people in a spiritual world walk on their head. And I found a medrash that says that. That in Gan Eden, people walk on their head. Where's the medrash? The medrash says that when Rivka Imenu saw Yitzchak Avinu the first time, okay, she saw her chosen, she was on a camel, and she saw him and she fell off the camel. Something astounded her. Says the medrash, what happened was the following. By the Akedah, Yitzchak died of fright when Avram put the knife to his throat. And Hashem resurrected him. He brought him back to life. But he needed to be rehabilitated. So he put him in Gan Eden for 2 years. The moment he was coming out of Gan Eden was when Rivka saw him. That's the moment he was coming out of Gan Eden. Three years. Because Rivka was born by the Akedah. She was 3 years old when she got engaged to Yitzchak. So 3 years he was in Gan Eden. The moment that he was coming out of Gan Eden is when Rivka saw him, and says the Medrash, and as is well known, people in Gan Eden walk on their head. And Yitzchak was still walking on his head when he came out of Gan Eden, and Rivka saw her chosen for the first time walking on his head. She was astounded. Somebody told me, no, that's not why she fell off the camel. She wanted a full head first to get on her head too, so she could be like the chosen. So in any case, you see that people in Gan Eden walk on their head. I was thinking, that's why in this world, if we want to really show that this is really our root, and our feet are our limbs, and we're really upside down in this world, because if we really be like a tree, our root should be down and our limbs should be up. But since our root is in the heavens, in this world, we have to be, look upside down. If you want to show that this is really my root, this is not the limb, this is the ikar, and my feet are really the limbs. So you know what we do? We take off our shoes and we cover our head. Because the root of a plant, of a tree, is covered. It's in the ground. And the limbs are uncovered. So when you want to show that this is really my root, I cover it. We cover our head. Women covers her hair. Man covers his head with a yarmulke. Right? There's different times when people are supposed to cover their heads completely, an oval, right? Yom Kippur. And we take off our shoes to show that's only the limb. What that's uncovered. Yom Kippur, an oval, takes off his shoes because he wants to get more spiritual. On Yom Kippur, we want to be more in the spiritual world. So we show that our feet are only the limbs. They're uncovered. And we cover our head to show this is the root. That's really the root.
Why uncovering it shows that it's
in? Because the root of a tree is covered. It's in the ground or it's in a pot. The limbs are uncovered. So in any case, so now we see that a tree, eitz, doesn't necessarily mean a tree that has fruit or whatever, because even lumber is called eitzim. It means the wood of the tree, the configuration of the tree. Look at the tree, you'll see what a tzaddik is. Look at the limbs, look at the root, see where they are. Look at a tzaddik, see where his roots are and his limbs are. You'll know what a tzaddik is. What do? We take the tree, which represents a person, and we break it up into pieces, and we burn it on the Mizbeach. And somehow, that prepares us for the Rosh Hashanah of Din. Why? Because no one really could be Zoche B'Din. Right? You can't really merit B'Din. Nobody's such a perfect tzaddik that B'Din he could merit. So how do you merit B'din? It says, you give yourself over to Hashem and say, Rabbanu Shalom, I trust you. Whatever you do, I know is good for me. I'm willing to accept whatever you do. If you do that, then you can be Zocha B'din too. So to prepare for the Rosh Hashanah of Din, we take trees which represent people, we break them up into pieces, which shows that when a person, Mamash, breaks himself up, he's Machnia himself, he humbles himself, and puts himself totally in God's domain, burns himself on the Mizbeach, that's symbolic, and that's how you prepare for Din. So that's Tu B'Av. We take trees, we break them up, put them on the Mizbeach, burn them, symbolizing a person totally negating himself to Hashem.
What does Tu B'Av have to do with the dancing in the vineyard?
The what?
Like when they used to dance in the vineyard?
Yeah, because that was the time that they made chasanas. Since we're celebrating, according to this, we're celebrating a person, so the continuation of people in this world is getting married, never joke. That is Tu B'Av. Now let's get to Tu B'Shvat. Tu B'Shvat is the 40-day preparation for the Rosh Hashanah of Rachamim, where we don't negate ourselves, but we are dynamic. We produce our fruit. Tu B'Shvat has to do with Ilanos, not Eitzim. Rosh Hashanah le'Ilanos. Ilan is a rabbinic word, it's not a Torah word. And it usually refers to fruit-bearing trees. Eitz is just the tree itself. Elon is a fruit-bearing tree. And even though there are Elonei Srak, Elonos that don't bear fruit, the Gemara says in the future all Elonos will bear fruit. Potentially they're fruit-bearing trees. So Elon is a fruit-bearing tree. Okay? Now I'll tell you something interesting about Elon. Okay? I have a board here. Yeah. I'll use it. Okay. Here. Thank you. Elon is spelled Aleph, Yud, Lamed, Nun. Let's take the Aleph away. Add up the Yud, Lamed, Nun. How much is it equal? Yud is 10.
90.
30. And 50. How much is that?
90.
Which letter in the Aleph days is 90?
Tzadik.
Okay? Now take the Aleph and put it next to the Tzadik. What do you get? Eitz with an aleph. So Elon is an eitz with an aleph. If I told you that eitz with an ayin means ayin tzaddik, look and you'll see a tzaddik. So aleph tzaddik means something too. The word aleph means to learn. Alefcha, there's a word in Tanakh that means to teach, to learn, is aleph. Aleph means to learn. So now, if you look at the tree, that the configuration of the tree, you'll see a tzaddik. If you learn about the fruit tree, you'll also see a tzaddik. You'll learn about a tzaddik. Aleph, tzaddik. Learn about the fruit tree, you'll know what a tzaddik is. How to learn about fruit trees tell you a tzaddik. So the idea is the following. There's a medrash that says that before Lech Lecha, 5 years before Lech Lecha, Avraham Avinu took a pilot trip around the world, looking for a place to settle if and when he would have children, where he would want to bring up his children. So he came to Aram Naharaim in Chutz Laaretz, and he saw a bunch of idol worshippers eating, drinking, and partying.
Where?
In Aram Naharaim, in Chutz Laaretz, somewhere in Chutz Laaretz. And he said, this isn't the place I want to bring up my children. He came to Eretz Yisrael, and he saw a bunch of idol worshippers planting, plowing, and harvesting. And he said, this is the place. Now, the surface, very difficult. What is the big difference between a bunch of idol worshippers eating, drinking, and partying, or a bunch of idol worshippers planting, plowing, and harvesting? They're still idol worshippers. What did Avraham Avinu see so special about Eretz Yisrael because they were planting, plowing, and harvesting? I think the answer is the following. There are two philosophies of life in this world. What's this world all about? One philosophy is, this is the goal. This is the end. This is it. If you don't enjoy this world, you have nothing to enjoy. So eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Right? So enjoy yourself. Live it up. That's one. That's a secular philosophy of life. And then there's a Torah philosophy. This world is not the end. This world is just a means to reach the end. The end is Olam Haba. And this is the world where you prepare for Olam Haba. Okay? Meiri says that philosophy of Olam Haba is called fruit. It's called fruit. This world is the place where you prepare the fruit, which is Olam Haba. Olam Haba is not a different world. It's the fruit of this world. Here you plant the seeds, and there you reap the benefit, right? What you do in this world brings fruit, and that fruit is called Olam Haba. That's how you create Olam Haba, by doing mitzvahs, by learning Torah, by being a good person in this world. That plants the seeds, and you get the reward in the next world. That's the fruit. So Olam Haba is the fruit of this world. That's what Avraham Avinu saw. Avraham Avinu saw that in Chutz La'aretz, the environment is conducive to the first philosophy, eat, drink, and be merry. That's what they were doing, eating, drinking, and be merry. But in Eretz Yisrael, the environment, even for Goyim, even for Ahuv Avodah Zarah, the environment is put in work now for the future. So they were planting, plowing, and harvesting for the future. But my children, Avraham said, are going to take it and use it for Olam Haba. Because in Eretz Yisrael, that is the environment. It's the influence. Put in work now for the future. What? Yeah. In Eretz Yisrael, the environment influences you to work now for the future, which is the Olam Haba kind of philosophy. And in Chutz La'aretz, the environment influences you to eat, drink, and be merry. I once saw this very clearly. One year, I took my family to what was then called Shavua HaSefer. One week, where all the publishers of books and Sfarim brought their new publications to one place in the city, and they made a night out. They put their books on the tables, and they gave bargains, and in order that you should come with your family, they had cotton candy for the children and rides. It was a night out for the family. So I took my family. It was in Gan HaPa'amon. Years ago. They don't have it anymore like this. So I had Shavua Sefer. I took my family to this Shavua Sefer, and we looked around the tables and bought books, and the kids had cotton candy. It was a nice... That night, I had a flight to America at 1 o'clock in the morning. Came home, went to the airport. 11 hours later, I was in New York. I get off the plane, and the person who met me said, I have tickets for something in Javits Convention Center today, and I have an extra ticket. Would you like to join me? I said, what do you think I would like to go to Javits Convention Center to see? He said, they're having a kosher food fest. What is that? All the producers of kosher food bring their latest products, put them out on tables. You walk around, taste the new foods, get to see what's good for the coming year. I said, you know, it's interesting. I have nothing against kosher food. Fine. But I just came from Eretz Yisrael a few hours ago, and everybody was walking around tables looking at Sfarim. Now you want me to go and walk around tables look at food. There's got to be a difference of the focus here in New York and when I came from Yerushalayim, right? There we're focused on Sfarim, here we're focused on food. So you can see in Chutz La'aretz, the focus is more on the here and the now, eat, drink, and be merry. In Eretz Yisrael, it's more, even the chalutzim, the non-religious, anti-religious people who came here in the beginning didn't come here to eat, drink, and be merry. They came and they cleaned the swamps and they planted trees for the sake, for the future. So the environment here is, even idol worshippers, that doesn't mean that you can't live a secular life in Eretz Israel. Plenty of people do it, but you have to fight against the environment. And that doesn't mean you can't live a beautiful Torah life in Chutz La'aretz. Plenty of people do it. But you have to fight against the environment. There the environment is eat, drink, and be merry. You can go against it. Here the environment is prepare now for the future. You can go against that too. So that's the idea of fruit. The idea of learn about the fruit tree. And you'll see a tzaddik. A tzaddik is somebody who prepares with a lot of work now for a future fruit. So if you learn about the fruit tree, you'll see what a tzaddik is. Aleph, tzaddik. That's Ilan, putting the Yud, Lamed, Nun. Now, because this fruit philosophy is in Eretz Yisrael, the Rebbe Shem gave us mitzvahs to do with fruit in order to make that philosophy more clear. Basically, there's four mitzvahs, trumas and maisras. There's truma, maisar rishon, maisar sheni, and Maiser Oni. Familiar with those? Okay. Four different mitzvahs. What are those mitzvahs, basically? Truma is called Reishis. You dedicate all first to Hashem. You set the pattern. This world is meant to be dedicated to service of Hashem. So all the first, Bikurim, in Truma, I dedicate to Hashem. That's the mitzvah of Truma. Now, you dedicate Maiser Rishon. You dedicate the tenth to Hashem. Why? The tenth represents the goal. Right? Hashem created the world with 10 mamoros. Okay? Everything 10 is the goal of something. Why? Because up until 10, every number is separate. 10 unites them all into one unit of 10. That's why a minyan is 10. It's a tzibur. The number 10 it unites all the numbers before. After 10, there's no new number. It's 10 plus 1, 10 plus 2, and so on. In Arabic numerals, it's 1, 10, and 0, 1s. It's a unit of 10s. So 10 represents the goal of something. So we dedicate all the first to Hashem, and we dedicate the goal to Hashem. Okay, so now you have the right perspective. This world is a world where you dedicate everything to service of Hashem in order to get all the power. But now you have to know how to do it. You have to know how to dedicate things to Hashem. You have the right idea, but how do you do it? Put it in practice. That's Maaseh Sheni. Maaseh Sheni, you take and bring it to Yerushalayim and eat it there. And the Torah says, you'll bring your Maaseh Sheni to Yerushalayim, L'man tilmad l'yiras Hashem. So you'll learn how to fear Hashem. Says Tosas, how do you learn how to fear Hashem? By eating food in Yerushalayim. He says, because you have to spend time in Yerushalayim. And all the yeshivas were in Yerushalayim, Ki Mitzion Teitzei Torah, and the Kohanim, and the Levim, and the Beis HaMikdash. So you're inspired and influenced by all these great people and places by being in Yerushalayim. So you learn how to serve Hashem by bringing your Maaseh Sheni to Yerushalayim. And lastly, Maaseh Ani. Right? You can't just worry about yourself and your Olam Haba. You have to worry about other people also. And you have to give Maaseh to Aniyim, people who can't take care of themselves. You have to take care of them too. So those are the four mitzvahs that have to do with fruit, which bring out this idea of the fruit of Olam Haba. The first one is dedicating the first to Hashem, Truma, dedicating the tenth, Maaseh Rishon, learning how to apply that, Maaseh Sheni, and helping other people, Maaseh Ani. If you had to designate letters that would represent those mitzvahs, what letter would represent dedicating the first to Hashem?
Aleph.
What letter would represent dedicating the tenth to Hashem?
Yud.
What letter would represent learning how to do that?
Aleph.
Which letter?
Lamed
means limud. Yeah? And which letter would represent helping an Ani? A Nun. Why? Because Nun represents falling. Soneich Hashem l'chol ha'noflim. God supports people who fall. So the Ani is somebody who's falling who needs support. That's why the middle letter of the word Ani is Nun. That is what an Ani is. He's a nofil. He can't support himself. So if you had the letters representing the letters of mitzvahs to do with fruit, what would they be? Aleph, Yud, Lamed, Nun is Elon. So the word Elon is Aleph Tzadik, and if you put the Yud Lamed Nun separate, it represents all the mitzvahs after the fruit. So Tu Bishvat, we prepare for the Rosh Hashanah of mercy, where Hashem helps us produce our fruit by going and looking at fruit trees. That's when the sap goes into the tree, and eventually the blossoms come and the fruit comes. And what makes that fruit come? Water. The more water in the tree, the more rain, the better the fruit is. Water is a symbol of Torah. The more Torah, the more fruit there's going to be. So we prepare for the Rosh Hashanah of Nisan, where we bring out our fruit with Tu Bishvat of dealing with fruit trees. Fruit trees that are getting their water or whatever. So Tu B'Av, we prepare with burning wood of tree, which represents a person, because you look at his root and look at his limbs. And Tu Bishvat, we prepare for the Rosh Hashanah of Rachamim by getting involved with fruit trees, not the wood of the tree, but the fruit of the tree, which teaches us a different lesson.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.